This is the Pat McCrory Show with Bo Thompson on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WPT.
I was going to talk about money again, but I'm never getting around to it. It's too much money. $1.7, $8, $9 trillion. What difference does it make? You know, Bo Thompson, it was kind of interesting hearing Chuck Todd, and it made me think over the commercial break that this is the dilemma I have with the media, including Chuck at times, and this is this, that when we look at protest, we put them in one monolithic group. When I see protesters, whether it be Black Lives Matter for social justice or people demanding a fair election, I see the protesters being split up into three groups. One is the worst of the group, and those are the anarchists that tend to infiltrate a protest and literally bring tools of violence. I saw this during the Black Lives Matter debate protest here in Charlotte and throughout the nation, where they're wearing backpacks with material that can help them break windows, with material that can help blow up things, with material that they can use to attack our police officers. You see this both the left and the right, and you see some of the people being arrested in Washington right now who are no doubt in my mind anarchist. Then you have another group that is a combination of anarchists and people that are so emotional about the issue at hand that they maybe didn't come to destroy anything or break the law, but for whatever reason, they follow the anarchist. They follow the person who says, hey, let's blow that up. Let's break that window. And they go, yeah, I'll break that window. And you see this in riots, kind of people that go, that get caught up in the moment and go, you know I'm not supposed to go across that barrier, but everyone else is doing it, so I'll do it too. I'm not supposed to go in that store and steal things, but everyone else is doing it, so I'll do it too. And then you have the third group, which is the largest group, that get dragged down by everyone. And that's the group of protesters that are legitimately protesting. They had no desire to cause destruction or to overthrow the government or to steal or to assault police officers. But because of the activity of the other two groups, they get dragged into the mix. And you're seeing the media do this now with Trump supporters. All Trump supporters now are crazy people. When sadly, within that crowd in Washington, D.C., as Chuck Todd said, and I'll say the same thing about Black Lives Matter, some of these people are nuts. They have mental issues, mental health issues. I mean, I've heard a couple of these people interviewed. They are nuts. And I wouldn't want to be around them, as they're especially nuts when they have a bomb with them. They're just not thinking straight. Now, some of them aren't nuts. They're just radical. They're just radical. And they take advantage of people who are nuts and so angry that they're willing to follow them. Does that make sense, Bo?
It does, but it's this one in particular is so layered because you have all of the different groups you just talked about.
Yes.
You have people who I don't think you categorize based on learning about their profiles as necessarily anarchists that found their way into the Capitol, that you start doing research and finding out that when they're back home, they're fairly normal sounding people. But then again, they went past the barricade.
They went past the barricade, or even themselves started throwing things at police officers, which is inexcusable, or breaking windows. Inexcusable. They got caught up in the moment. Sorry, there's no excuse. You can't play the victim card with me and say you followed some left-wing nut who was just caught, who said he was there to film it as a journalist, and now it turns out while filming it, he was yelling and encouraging people to light fires. Let's light the place up. And sadly, the mob mentality, it's human dynamics. Some people go, okay, let's do it. No excuse.
Well, you have the other interesting dynamic here, and we've talked about this on this show, and I've heard it talked about other places, about Mick Mulvaney was on our show a week ago, and he was saying, I never thought that some of these people would take the president literally as to what he said. You know, lots of politicians use rhetoric, metaphoric language about fighting for you, as you've talked so much about this week.
Yeah.
But we've never had a situation like this where many of these people had just left. In other words, they watched the president say these things, and then they left that event and went to the next thing. That makes this an unusual situation, too.
Well, every politician I've ever met has said, I will fight for you. And I've always hated that. I will fight for you. Now, what a politician or anyone with a microphone or pulpit needs to do is read the room, too. And if they're saying something that's they need to look at the people they're talking to and go, wow, that person might be overreacting to what I meant it to say. And it's up to, frankly, the people at the pulpit, whether it be a religious pulpit, a media pulpit, or a political pulpit, to read the room and go, wait a minute, I need to tone down the rhetoric because they're responding a little more strongly than I anticipated. They're literally saying, I'm using the term fight in a metaphoric type of way, not literally. Now, does that mean they're responsible for those people doing it? No. Just like listen to a rock record that encourages violence, I'm not going to arrest the band.
Well, yeah, and
that
to
did
that
a
point,
record which says, you know, go blank the police, which a lot of rap records do and hard rock players, you know, whatever might do. As
well,
Tipper
and to that
Gore
point, Governor,
say.
To that point, you know, President Trump can turn around and say, well, look, how many hundreds of rallies have I done over the last 4 years? And I've said similar things and never did anything like that happen after it was over.
You know, I've been to 15 rallies of President Trump's, and every once in a while he'd say something. Every once in a while I'd go, ooh, there's about a group of 20 people down there that might take him literally. I mean, you could see it. You could see it. You know how some people would say, lock her up, lock her up?
Mm-hmm.
Some people are chanting it kind of like a sports, you know, knock him out, knock him out. You know, most people don't really want to see the football player knocked out, but some do. It's like when I went to the Philadelphia Eagle football game playoffs, when the Panthers were in the playoffs against the Eagles, there were some people who were threatening us behind us that really meant it. Where at the Giant games, they were threatening us and then they'd kind of wink at us and go, we don't really mean it. We're just jerking you around. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You see this in sporting events where all of a sudden someone having a strong feeling toward a sports team, it becomes a fight. And you go, wait a minute, where was that line crossed and why was that line crossed? It's psychology at the 400 level. And well, sadly, some people need psychiatrists.
We want to know what you think as you listen to us discuss this. 704-374-3800. That's the number for the Big Finish, brought to you by Rug Source, and we will get to it. It's always bigger on a Friday, so if you're out there right now thinking about calling,
704-374-3800. We want to hear what you have to say. Some of you might be angry about, you know, we're not crazy, and most people aren't. But it only takes 1% of the people to do it, to make a crowd turn into a mob on both the left and the right. And sadly, I've been in the middle of those mobs. I was attacked 4 years ago in Washington, D.C. this week